The MCAT Podcast, session number 135. A collaboration between the medical school headquarters and Next Step Test Prep, the MCAT Podcast is here to make sure you have the information you need to succeed on your MCAT test day. We all know that the MCAT is one of the biggest hurdles you'll face as a pre-med, and we're here to give you the motivation and information that you need to know to help get you the score you deserve so you can one day call yourself a physician. Welcome to the MCAT Podcast. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, your host here every week, where I have a great discussion with Clara from Next Step, and we have been breaking down Full Length 10 for a long time now. Hopefully, you are ready to crush the MCAT after going through this whole full length with us here on the MCAT Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast and you haven't checked out all of the other podcasts that I do, go check them out at mededmedia.com. That's M-E-D-E-D media.com, or just search for Meded Media in your podcast player. This week, we have some more Psych Soch here ready for you. All right, Clara, back for some more Psych Soch from Next Step Test Prep, Full Length 10, Passage 2. I'm assuming for students that they're going to see a similar pattern of a mix of passages and discretes for Psych Soch as well?
Yes. So absolutely. Psych Soch has the same proportion of discretes versus passages as the other two science sections, and they tend to follow the same pattern, although not every MCAT is exactly the same in terms of, like, does it have three passages and then one set of discretes, or does it have two? But proportion-wise, identical to the other sections.
Okay. Any interesting things we need to know about our passage today?
Not particularly, other than the fact that it's going to be a sociology passage, which is sometimes it's hard to even tell, like, oh, is it a psych passage versus a soch passage? But sociology passages tend to be more about, oh, you know, certain, like, communities, for example, or societies, that sort of thing. So they actually come up very often. So more of the test is sociology than anyone ever thinks will be, but okay, That's what we're looking at.
All right, let's go and jump in.
All right. Passage 2. Born in a mid-sized city in Senegal, Moussa's family emigrated to the U.S. when he was less than a year old. Moussa's father was an engineer and his mother a math teacher. Moussa and his parents were the first members of his extended family to leave for the West. Emmanuel was born in a rural village in Nigeria and emigrated to the U.S. when he was 5. His parents were laborers, and Emmanuel arrived in a neighborhood where many members of his extended family had settled for years. Both students showed very high promise early in school, but both ran afoul of authorities early in their teenage years due to activity with local youth gangs and low-level crime activity. Faced with a majority culture that forbids the harsh child-rearing techniques they would have used at home, Moussa's and Emmanuel's parents despaired about the effect Western permissive culture was having on their boys. In response, Moussa's parents sent him back to Senegal to finish his high school years in an elite but strict private school. Emmanuel's parents could not afford such an option. To study the effect of sending adolescent male children back to Africa during that tempestuous time in life, researchers interviewed both Moussa and Emmanuel as adults. They then asked them for referrals to other members of their communities who had gone through a similar experience or would know someone who did. In this manner, they were able to find hundreds of subjects to interview regarding their experience as Black immigrant children in the U.S. Researchers hypothesized that children who had been sent back to Africa during adolescence would more likely exhibit an external locus of control compared to students who stayed in the U.S. throughout childhood. The findings, surprisingly, exhibit the opposite. Those adults who returned to the home country for some or all of adolescence were more likely to exhibit internal locus of control, whereas those who stayed in the U.S. were more likely to exhibit a larger disparity between front stage and backstage behaviors.
Oh, okay. I was with you through 3 paragraphs.
Yeah. Well, that's most of it. Yeah. It a lot of times in psych there and soch, there the end will seem kind of abrupt because they'll give these findings and they'll seem like kind of out of nowhere. But We'll see what we can do with them.
Okay. So I have a feeling a lot's going to be on this external or locus of control, internal versus external. All right. Question 5. Which sociological concept is least applicable to either or both of Musa's and Emmanuel's experiences? A, majority culture versus minority culture. B, peer pressure. C, affirmative action. Or D, social reproduction. Oh, sociological concept is least applicable. Okay, least applicable. It's interesting. Affirmative action for me is the one that stands out as like, that doesn't belong here. Like, which one of these is not like the other? And so peer pressure and social reproduction and culture all kind of seem related and potentially influencing their experiences. But affirmative action doesn't to me. So I would pick C on this one.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Great.
Are you going to tell me that's another easy one?
No. No, we actually have a fair proportion of students miss that one, which I think is mainly because they don't know what affirmative action is. Because basically affirmative action is a set of policies or sort of institutionalized behaviors where that are intended to help underprivileged minority groups. So with college applications, for example, if there's some minority group that has a pretty low proportion in that college, then they might institute policies to favor that group because that group might be suffering through conditions or something like that that are preventing them from succeeding.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with this passage, and that makes it the answer to this least question.
All right. So just, cool. Again, having kind of a broad knowledge base and understanding here helped.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Question six.
Great. Question six. The main purpose for including subjects like Emmanuel in the study is to A, add the variable of parental socioeconomic status to the study, B, increase the overall sample size to add statistical power to the findings, C, act as a control group of immigrant youths who had not been sent back to Africa, or D, operationalize the definition of the behavior of sending adolescents back to Africa.
Ooh. Interesting. So the main purpose, this is one of those that I hate, the main purpose of for including subjects like Emmanuel. And so, oh man, the study, the effect of sending adolescent male children back to Africa. So that was the study, right? The study is sending adolescent male children back to Africa.
Totally.
And so to me, if they're studying sending children back to Africa, the control group would be kids or children or adults at this point who had similar upbringings but didn't go back to Africa. So in my mind, okay, he's a control. So let's look at the answers here. Add the variable of parental socioeconomic status to the study. I think that's an easy one that I'd assume a lot of students go for because it made a point to say, oh, look, Emmanuel's socioeconomic status is different than Musa's. B, increase the overall sample size. Well, it's just one, so I wouldn't include power on that. And then control group of C, and operationalize the definition of the behavioral. That one seems crazy. So I would go with C as a control group.
Good.
All right.
It is. Yeah. Great. So you had the right idea from the beginning and you didn't get sidetracked by one of the other answer choices.
Okay.
So it's perfect. Yeah. All right. And then just a note, A is the tempting one here, the variable of socioeconomic status. But just because he has a different socioeconomic status doesn't mean that that's the purpose of why he was included. It was included as a control group. When we understand that the main focus was to study children being sent back to Africa.
Yeah. Would that be something maybe you would recommend students highlight of like, oh, it specifically says here to study the effect of sending adolescent male children back to Africa. Like, oh, that's the point of the study. Let me just highlight that so I remember that.
Totally. Yeah. We talk a lot in our materials about the way that MCAT passages are usually based off of scientific journal articles or at least modeled off of that. And that is a perfect example of the purpose of the study. And so 100% highlighting either that whole thing or maybe just like a small phrase in there to remind us that that's their purpose is super valuable.
Okay. All right. Question 7. Based on the discussion at the end of the passage, which of the following statements would most likely be made by someone like Musa? And just remembering, Musa was the one who was sent back to Senegal. Answer choice A, in quotes, "I succeed in school primarily because I come from very educated parents." B, again in quotes, all these are in quotes, "My admission to an elite university of England was based primarily on luck." C, "I am extremely concerned with how I am perceived by my peers in school." Or D, "When I succeed on a test, it is because I am a good student who studies hard." So the discussion at the end of the passage, and we have to get to the conclusion here where they talked about the results. The findings surprisingly exhibit the opposite. Those adults who returned to the home country for some or all of their adolescence were more likely to exhibit internal locus of control, whereas those who stayed in the U.S. are more likely to exhibit larger disparity. And so internal locus of control, I don't know the exact definition, but if I just had to kind of guess at the broad generic definition, it's something like self-motivated, like it's coming from within me. Mm-hmm. And so C is not internal locus of control. I'm extremely concerned with how I am perceived by my peers in school. A, I succeed in school primarily because I come from educated parents, is not internal locus of control. B, based on luck, is not internal locus of control. So it'd be D, I succeed because I'm a good student who studies hard.
Great. Yeah. Oh,
man, I want to take the MCAT now. Psych, Soch, I like. Doing, this is easy.
Doing awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny how people can do well in Psych, Soch even without understanding the meaning of every term. And sometimes there's this kind of funny curve where as you learn more and more about the details of the meanings of each term, you tend to sort of psych yourself out. So here you're in the nice part of that, the initial part of that curve where you're like, oh, internal locus of control sort of sounds like it means this, and here it happened to mean that. So yeah.
All
perfect.
Right. All right. Oh, let's keep this luck going.
All right. Next one then, question 8. If researchers only compared Musa and Emmanuel and found that Musa had a strong internal locus of control, but Emmanuel had an external locus of control, could they conclude that being sent back to Africa caused the observed difference? A is no, because Musa already had an internal locus of control, as such a personality trait is determined wholly genetically. B, no, because a comparison of only two subjects could involve any number of confounding factors. C, yes, because with a thorough interview and personality inventory, the researchers could account for any other differences. Or D, the question does not provide enough information to determine.
So I think this sounds like more like a, you need to understand research and statistics and data more than anything else. And for me, answer choice B stands out, that no, you can't conclude that because a comparison of only two subjects can involve any number of confounding factors. And they throw C in there to go, well, I guess if you did enough thorough interview and personality inventory, but I just don't think only two people is just not enough. So I would choose B.
Perfect.
All right.
On a roll.
I like it. I get all my knowledge about statistics and studies from the podcast Freakonomics. So they always are harping on their correlation does not equal causation. So, and their books, they have really good books too. So,
oh yeah, I've read some of those books. They're great.
Yeah, they're really good. Just like, what's the like super easy ones? They talk about like why the presidential candidate that earns the most money is the one that typically wins. And so you assume that having the most money is what causes you to win. But it's like, no, actually it's not. People just like to back the winner. And so it's like, oh yeah, I backed him. Like, well, you knew he was going to win. So that's where all the money goes.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good books to kind of understand this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Question 9. After moving to the U.S., Musa's father's socioeconomic status would primarily be determined by which of the following? A, his occupation as an engineer. B, his gender. C, his status as an immigrant. Or D, is IQ. Interesting. Moose's father. So just remembering, Moose's father is an engineer. And his mother was a teacher, right? Math teacher. And so Moose's father's socioeconomic status, how would it be determined? His occupation, his gender, his status as an immigrant, or his IQ? Socioeconomic to me is monetary. So I would choose A, assuming he was able to work as an engineer here. I don't know if I can make that assumption, but I'm going to because I don't see why not. So I would choose A.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, you can always, it's interesting, right? So you never want to speculate on the MCAT. And even if we know logically, there are plenty of cases where someone might immigrate to another country and then no longer be able to perform the same occupation as they were in their previous country. We can't assume that that's the case here. So we have to assume that, okay, they said he was an engineer. He's going to be an engineer. And then A is perfect.
All right, there you have it. Some more psych-social passage two. Breaking down that passage and talking all about locus of control and so much more. Hopefully this one was helpful for you. If you have been thinking about an MCAT course, go to MCATCourseReview.com. In that course review, I break down Next Step Test Prep's MCAT course. Now, Next Step initially was known for their tutoring. And a couple years ago, they introduced their first version of the MCAT course. And as we're recording this, they're coming out with a brand new, really revamped and updated course for you as well. The one thing that I love about their course is that it's not only all of the content and AAMC material and practice tests that you get, but you also get office hours with one of their top tutors. And that, I think, is what separates it from everybody else, because you get to be there and ask questions, sometimes one-on-one if you're the only one on the call, but you get to ask questions from those tutors, even though you're doing kind of a do-it-yourself, self-paced course. So again, go check out MCATCourseReview.com for my video on the MCAT course. When you sign up, you can use the promo code MCATPOD to save $50. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time here for some more Next Step Test Prep Full Length 10 Psych Soc.